computer most of the way.
Fair enough. Welcome to AE Double Back for November 15th, 2023. Yeah, that's how we start now.
That's not how you did it the first time, though.
This
time had more of a Mountain Dew spokesman quality to it.
I can't tell if I was leaning more into the bit or if I was just more exasperated that I had an organic beginning that got stuffed because Zencastr wasn't quite doing its thing.
I don't know.
Or you just blew out your voice. Was it Teresa? Yeah, it could have been.
Hard to say. Hard to say.
Harder to pronounce the right thing. Whatever the right answer is, it would be easy to say.
You are killing it right now, Calder. Can I just say?
Thank you.
So, what's in the news?
Too much. Thought we were going to have a sad conversation about what do we do without you on Saturday.
I was concerned.
I was concerned too.
Look, in this economy, I don't want to risk any of my jobs.
Hey, but, I'm not going to do that either to you.
But also, yeah, like I made it work, so I will be there at the show. We are going to see Full Gear live at the Los Angeles Forum.
Fabulous Forum, baby.
Is that the Forum again?
Yeah, where do you think it was going to be?
Sick of the Forum.
Every show has been at the Forum.
I know, but for some reason, I thought this one was somewhere else.
What do you want to do with the Fonda?
No, I was just wondering.
Do it like...
They should do it at the Hollywood Bowl. They really should. That would be awesome.
Oh, okay.
That would be impossible.
Let's do it in the space where they do Lucha Vavoom.
Oh, the Aztec? Fuck yeah.
All right. Done.
I mean, they'd only...
Oh, I've been to the Mayan, not the Aztec.
Oh, the Mayan. That's it. The Mayan. I meant the Mayan. Aztec yeah.
Oh,
is...
Oh, wow.
Jesus. Racist against Mesoamericans. No. Oh, disappointing.
Look, everyone knows how I watch too much Simpsons. And then I've been to the Mayan. I've been to Lucha Vavoom. You know, it's a great fucking thing to do if you haven't done it yet, people out there in the world. It's one of the best things. Ugh, I keep hitting my mic. But,
I can do that.
The Mayan. I always forget. I always want to say the Aztec, but it's the Mayan. But the tickets would be crazy expensive because it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was like an AEW pay-per-view, it'd be like, shit. You can't even have the whole roster in there.
They should do a show like in the middle of nowhere for the benefit of one wealthy trillionaire.
Oh, you mean just doing a Crown Jewel?
No. I mean, literally, like in the middle of absolute nowhere, not in a politically unsavory country.
Just one of the areas,
like in the middle of Death Valley or something.
All right.
One of the areas that, like, here's the thing: wherever you see a trillionaire, we're talking to you, Jeff Bezos, build a home. If you can even do that, because probably they have like all that website smearing stuff, so you can't find them. But that's going to be where the brightest of brightest climate scientists and algorithms and whatever the fuck weather mappings tell them where the actual livable places to be will be. Wherever you see extremely rich people flocking, which is why my hometown, I am now convinced that's why it's popping off right now, because it's going to be one of the livable areas after, you know, the climate continues to go to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns into a hellscape for humans everywhere else.
For pores.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone, rich or poor, is going to be, like, lingering, like, where I'm from, so.
Oh, my God. You live, like, just two elevator stops above hell. It's so hot. It's so hot.
You know, we got the climate change a long time ago and haven't been complaining.
I'll just wait until the air conditioning gives out.
And then you'll die?
We got... I used the voice control to take down my notes today. So apparently it is Mox, M-O-C-K-S, and Yoda versus Orange Cassidy and Hook. For this first match.
Hilarious.
Fair enough. So, yeah, that's a good match.
Mox and Yoda. Turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good match.
It was.
They threw this interesting thing at the end where Mox didn't get knocked out from the orange punch.
Yeah.
So... And Orange was flabbergasted. He's like, but that's my thing. That's my one thing. So on Saturday, when they go up against each other for the belts, I wonder what's going to happen.
I mean, this is this plus the promo after the match that Mox cut. I'm sorry. According to my phone, it's Box post-match promo, B-O-X.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, it's such a great sell for Orange. He is just like an underdog times 10 and then take it to another level and then multiply that again. He just keeps getting lower and lower and you just want to root for him harder and harder. Mm-hmm. And, like, I still love Mox, but also, you know, he's just coming across as this absolute force of destruction. And, you know, I want him to lose at the same time as I am in awe of him. So, like, it's just such what it's wonderfully done. This whole thing here is just fantastic.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
I wonder how far we are from seeing him with, like, spaghetti strands in his head again.
I hope it's going to be a while.
By the way, did you guys see someone dressed up at the Republic of Lucha show? Someone, you know, it was the Halloween show, so people were in costumes. Somebody had the spears, the stick things in their head, like Mox did. That was pretty great.
That's fun.
So yeah, this was a good match, but yeah, Yuta pinned, so
yeah,
there we are.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing because you usually expect Yuta to be the weak link who takes a pin, and yet it was turned on its head this time.
And also, it was a hell of a pin too. Like he tied him up in the seatbelt and then just like hooked the leg, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, man, you're putting in the work this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
this really is why seatbelts are unsafe. No one should use them.
Wrong.
Unsafe at any speed.
Airbags. Airbags are questionable. thumbs up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Thumbs up.
We've got Swerve.
We got one of those shots of the Golden Dragons of Dojima, I believe. Them all walking slow. I think I'm supposed to be impressed. I was not.
They couldn't get the Reservoir Dogs music.
Yeah, right.
That would one of these days.
Little
one of these
bag.
Days.
I mean, there's no way that's not affordable for Tony Khan relative to other things he's licensed.
Oh, for sure. It's an old ass song. Final
Countdown. Yeah, but also it's nice to just sort of hint at that without actually. Out and out having Stephen Wright come on and doing the intro. Your next match.
Oh, that would be
John Moxley. Big Daddy Don Bodine's truck, the Behemoth. All right, that made me laugh.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's someone out there that also laughed.
Audibly did not make you laugh.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like that early cult of Tarantino is really cringe today.
Oh my God, yes. Even his big hits.
Yeah.
Very much so. However, to experience them when they came out was like incredible.
It was Pulp Fiction?
My God.
Yeah, that's what I saw six.
That in movie theaters with my older brother.
I was not allowed.
And it was like intense. I went with my brother and his friends. They were like, yeah, we're going to go see this. So we're big bad dudes. And they brought me because Andrew had this thing about, you know, my sister's going to be cool. So he's taking his dork ass sister. Oh my God.
And how cool you became.
Yeah, look at me now. Look at me now, guys.
When I was living in Bakersfield, there was like, I was at an age where I was like too young to go out drinking and didn't really have any money. And it's Bakersfield, so it's nothing. It's just a wasteland. So I like watched a lot of movies, you know, went to the video store and rented. And so I'd go on kicks of just like, you know, like one actor and like, oh, cool. It's like watch everything that this guy has been in. Let's watch everything this lady's been in. And I was on a Harvey Keitel run when I ran across Reservoir Dogs. And, you know, yeah, what was I, like a 19, 20-year-old kid or whatever? It's just like, just hit the veins like heroin.
Yes.
And looking back on it now, oh, Lord, I was a mess. The movie is it's an enjoyable movie, but
there's a lot you have to like. There's also a lot that you have to sort of remove mentally from what's happening in your mind as you watch it. Things said, things done, and you're like zit, to be able to enjoy it without being like, I have to turn this off.
Words were used.
Words. Yeah, the wrong word too many times. Quentin Tarantino himself, who wrote this character for himself in Pulp Fiction, saying certain words a million fucking times.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, I fucking hate you so much. Why would you do that?
It's when ironic racism was still cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking asshole. Anyways, whatever. Way to make it acceptable for lots of other, I don't know, I was going to say some negative word. I don't need to.
Were you going to use the N-word?
I wasn't.
Oh my God.
I wasn't.
Appalled. I am appalled.
I was going to say something else, but then I was like, it's too, I don't like saying it as a Simpsons fan because I don't like it as a term because then whatever, it doesn't matter. It's something that the first part of Simpsons.
Oh,
say it to yourself.
Simp?
Yeah.
Is that yes. Okay? Well, look.
Is that not sayable?
I don't really know even how you use it appropriately.
Okay. No, I see how that is an issue. Like, you know, the thing the kids say, I don't want to say it because I don't want to sound like a huge dork. But also,
I've heard it used and people have said it in the appropriate context. And I just delete it immediately from my brain because I'm like, I'm never going to use this because it's too close to The Simpsons. And I don't want The Simpsons ever associated with something bad. Even though they can't help it themselves.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We've talked about everything under the sun. Now that we've gone through encyclopedia A through Z. Brown? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A through Z. Mm-hmm. Now we can move on to the second match of the night. Or it's not a match. It's like a segment. Yeah.
It's face to face.
Face to face. My loveless foe. Swerve and Nana. Nana is the best because you have Swerve, who's the baddest of bad guys, meanest of meanies. And you have Nana, but you love him, but you fucking love him because he's the coolest guy in the world. He's a wrestler and he looks like a Marvel superhero. And then you have, or villain or whatever. Then you have Nana, who is showing you your feelings every time you see Swerve. The joy that comes out of me when Swerve comes out. And then Nana is then physically showing me my joy back to me on the screen. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. So I'm so happy in this moment and you're making it okay for me to be happy. And Nana did this thing when the camera was on Swerve and Swerve is just standing in the middle of the ring or like whatever, by the ropes or something. And Nana was going from the left to the right, back and forth, behind Swerve. It was so incredible. Just the way it was framed up, it was perfect. And I was like, this is the funniest and best. Like, he's so aware. He's just so aware. I love him. And that was it. I'm dead. Thumbs up.
That's not it. The crowd started chanting "steal his weed," and
let's get to that. So Hangman and Page comes out. They both have to have this talk. Now we're told that if they touch each other, they'll get suspended for the rest of the year, and then they won't have a match either. So you know those are big stakes, right?
Okay. 2 months of work. The real fear is if they touch each other, they might start smooching each other, and it goes from there.
They'll give in to their carnal desires.
See, that's
what we've all been there.
People don't understand, really. Being homophobic sometimes is just like you're afraid of yourself.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Not necessarily afraid of someone else. Yep. You're afraid of your own truth.
That's how it be sometimes.
Free yourself from the prison.
Just start making out. It's okay.
I'm just kidding. Free your ass and the rest will follow.
Hangman Adam Page said, you know what Nana does with the money? He's making money off you. You know what he does with it? He buys weed from a high school kid
in the parking lot.
From a high school kid in the parking lot. And I'm like, what? Not with the stores we got around here. No one's buying weed from some dick-ass kid.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He's in Southern California.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knows that that's going to get heat with this crowd.
Yeah.
And like, for those of us who, you know that, we're looking at Prince Nana going like, exactly. That is exactly the response you should have. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying cheap weed?
No way.
No, madam. I get only the finest marijuana.
Exactly.
That was just so great.
And then Hangman said, but wait, I'm going to take your weed. You get your weed and then I'm going to take it or some shit. I didn't follow the sentence.
I'm going to steal it. Yeah, I'm going to steal your weed.
Okay.
And then the crowd just starts chanting, steal his weed. Steal his weed.
It's pretty good. I mean, that little bit was good. Now, the crazy thing is that Swerve didn't get to cut a promo at all.
No,
that is not a crazy thing. That is fucking criminal.
Yeah.
The only reason why you would do that is if you're afraid Paige is going to get just demolished. And
He would have. He absolutely would have. I mean, other than the funny bit about the weed, like, he would have been fucking destroyed. This works Paige, just better.
Yeah, Paige cuts a perfectly fine promo. It's, you know, very decent, and I got a little bit more excited about the match than I was before. Great. But, yeah, Swerve is on another level, and you could put Swerve first. You have Swerve go, and then you have Paige reply, because I do like the finish. I like the thing, because they built it up, like, just so you know, there's no touchy, otherwise bad things are going to happen. Fine. And so then, you know, the like,
but and there's nothing that says that you can't touch Nana.
Exactly. And that is fantastic. Great way to end it. But if then that means that Swerve doesn't get to talk, you put him at the goddamn beginning of the segment.
I know.
The fact that he didn't, like, I enjoyed this segment. I enjoyed it. But I will thumb it down because you don't, because. Yeah,
I mean,
here's one of your best talkers.
Yes.
And you just, I mean, and he gives great face, and Nana behind him also doing great reactions. I mean, they're doing.
Did some reactions for sure.
They're giving the equivalent of a promo just in the response, mm-hmm. but to not let him talk.
I mean, I have to assume that that means that Saturday, Friday, wait, no, what am I talking about? Saturday's the show.
Yeah.
So they can't shoot Collision. They're
running everything on Friday.
They're doing 4 straight hours of wrestling and then come back tomorrow for 5 hours
of
wrestling.
Oh my God, these
that
poor
is
people.
Too much.
No.
That is I don't care for, I don't know.
Well, yeah, so like I'm just assuming then that Friday they have Swerve do something. But I mean, it was too bad. That being said, I still liked the segment. And that's saying a lot. And I think it's saying a lot because I normally don't like Hangman's promos. They just don't do anything for me.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying Swerve and Nana at the top so much. And then I was enjoying the incredulous reaction of Nana being like, I don't need that fucking weed. What? You know, like,
what?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the Jan. Do you remember? Well, do either of you remember? I might have tried to show you a promo where it was Mean Gene interviewing Jake the Snake way back for like Saturday Night's Main Event or whatever it is, and like at one point, Jake the Snake like refers to Mean Gene as an encyclopedia salesman, and the reaction of Mean Gene was, "I never sold encyclopedias." Like he just like he takes it so to heart, and then the best part is that that Jake the Snake then says, "Ha, you couldn't even get that right."
Yeah, truly one of the greats.
So anyway, yeah. So I don't know. I thumbs this up.
Okay.
Yeah, I did as well. I still thought it was pretty good, like in spite of the conspicuous absence of Swerve, like in the promo battle.
Yeah. And like I said, I enjoyed it. I was entertained, but just like on a philosophical level, I had some issues.
Well, this is a philosophy show.
Yeah. So
everything I do is a philosophy show, whether people want it or not.
We have Roderick calling Adam Cole, and he's telling Adam Cole, "I know who the devil is. It's MJF." And Adam Cole says, "For all I know, Roddy, it could be you." And I was like, I knew it. I knew it was him. So I bet he's going to be – I'm really still thinking it's going to be Roderick Strong as the devil. I think so.
I have two thoughts. One is
two
the signing that Tony Khan talked about and they talked about on the show will either be the partner of MJF for the tag match, which seems unlikely because that's the pre-show, and it would be really weird to give away something big like that without having people pay for it. Or he
unless
turned
that's
out
how
to
get
be
people.
The devil, because they've done so much with this devil thing and built it up so much that anybody, literally anybody who's on the roster right now, if it turns out to be them, you'll be like, eh, I wish it were someone else, you know, because there mm-hmm. are at least a good half dozen plausible candidates.
Yeah.
So
it could be, Sami Callihan could be who's coming in.
It could be, except he has his own promotion, and I don't think
Wait. Are you saying that there's someone new that's been signed?
Yes.
That they just haven't told us who it is?
Yeah. There definitely is.
Okay,
they talked about it, and also, yeah, it was on a bunch of he tweeted about it, and so it was a thing.
Mm. He X'd it.
No.
Yeah, it's sure.
So stupid. I swear to God. What's his face? He gets so much credit for Tesla. He did not create the car. He did not create that battery.
I believe he created the Cybertruck. I believe that.
I don't think there's anybody with any credibility left who thinks
Elon Musk
that dude
is brilliant.
Worth the slightest shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just insane. He's fucking. Some people just shouldn't have money. You know what I mean? Just some people don't do good things with it.
Nobody should have that much money.
Yeah,
because there's not a single person out there.
He's like, I wish I could do something with this. However much was it? Was it 4 billion or 40 billion?
It's enough.
No, it was 40. It was 40.
Yeah. What do I do? What do I do with this $40 billion? You know, the things that could have solved globally.
I know. I'll buy the site where everybody's talking mean things about me and get them to stop.
Exactly.
That'll solve the problem.
And it doesn't necessarily stop it.
It absolutely did not.
Because guess what? X isn't the only game in town, motherfucker. And fuck X. Fuck that. Such bullshit. Now, okay, whatever. I don't need to go on. I'm an old woman. Yelling on my porch at all these kids to get off her lawn. She's like, I don't care if I'm nannying you. I clocked out. Fucking get off my lawn.
I thumbed this down.
Oh, really?
It was okay.
Salty thumb.
You know what? I got to follow my heart. I got a salty heart. And my salty heart says, we've seen this one already. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any particular problem with it. It's just like, oh, this is exactly the same thing they did last week. We didn't advance anything. And just, okay, I'm bored now.
It's been many
weeks. 1 week since you looked at me.
Thank you. It's been many weeks of the same shit. I'm not into this. The one slight difference is Adam Cole being like, for all I know, it's you. You're the guy in the devil mask. And you hired some goons or some shit like this, right? Like, that's what the only difference. But it wasn't enough. Because either this is a confirmation for me or it's another red herring because people are starting to talk like that out on the – you know, blogosphere. Remember when that was a term? Blogosphere?
The exosphere.
So it's like, yeah, I down it too. Because I'm like, boo. Why?
I guess no. I'm the Pollyanna because I middled it.
There you go.
Okay.
You're keeping us afloat, Calder.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got Sky Blue and Red Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good match. It was.
I absolutely spent the entire match going like, all right, what's the joke here? Red and blue, like purple. What am I going to say about like a, if we just get like a white in there, we'll be the flag. It was too much. It was too much for me.
What, the colors?
Couldn't focus. I couldn't, I spent so much time trying to think of jokes that.
You couldn't come up with one.
Yeah.
That's the problem with jokes.
It's rough. That's the problem with jokes?
Yeah, that is the problem.
That is the problem.
You waste your life trying to come up with one when the life was the joke the whole time.
Oh, dang. Yo, you're like one of the watchmen, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I've always been here. Anyways.
It was a pretty good match.
It was a good match, yes. I continue to really be into the Sky Blue turn thing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. She's got an edge now that makes her kind of interesting. I feel like her work is more interesting in the ring as a result. Red Velvet, good stuff. So
the only issue I had particularly was that like it's a qualifying match to face Chris Statlander and Julia Hart, I guess, because it's a three-way. So I'm like, what is the plausibility of Red Velvet winning this? Like zero.
Yeah.
Well, she did. And they pointed out during the match that, she beat, Ruby Soho, on Collision.
She did.
Which like, Jesus Christ, what did Ruby do that you stuff her like that? But you know, I mean, is there any,
I'm still worried for Ruby Soho.
Yes. But
I mean, I'm worried for all of the women because they're always going to be floundering because Tony doesn't do anything for them. In fact, to the point where he's if on Saturday there isn't a reason why Sky Blue is in the match with Julia Hart, if they don't team up or some shit like this, right? Then I am going to go ballistic. I'm going to choose the nuclear option and burn it all down because because this is Tony yet again be like, oh, what are we gonna do with the women? Well, I can't schedule more than one match a night with women in it at all, so we're just gonna have to do all three of them in the same match. If there's no reason for them to be there with like a turn or getting together or whatever, then all he's doing is making it okay that we don't see women more often by like never giving us the matches to qualify, you know, the penultimate, the blah, 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 you know what I mean? Semifinal, whatever the fuck that they do for the guys, you know?
Look, I am not saying that we should quit AEW if Tony screws over the women again this pay-per-view, but I am saying that Damage Control now has Asuka and Io and Kairi and Dakota and Bayley.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Asuka's not with WWE anymore?
No. They're all on
the same faction. It's a faction in WWE.
Oh.
Asuka, Kairi, Io, three of the best women wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
Are all teaming up and tearing shit up over there. I'm not saying that we should go to WWE. I am saying that we should quit them both and learn Japanese and go watch Stardom.
Look, I miss Asuka so much. And that's another thing. Why is it AEW looks at WWE and is like, we could never do this. There's no way. But we'll take all you guys that are retired. You know? Why do you look at WWE and see the women's division and how strong it is? That didn't happen by accident. It happened because they were given time to, like, be on TV, to develop a character. They had people writing storylines for them. If AEW is so anti-writing storylines, maybe just do a little bit, just a little bit to get us where we need to be. And I get it. It's a young company, but it's been around long fuck enough. And there's enough talent out there. There's enough. I mean, what's her face? Where is she anymore?
Who?
Serena Deeb.
You could mention like 10 women.
Exactly. Oh, also, don't even get me started on how they let go Butcher, Blade, and Bunny.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. We can dial that. We can push that one back because Bunny is not there anymore, but Butcher and Blade are still there.
Are they? I thought their contracts were up and they didn't get re-signed.
That was what the stories that were coming out. But then soon after that, Butcher and Blade both confirmed that they're still there or they're agented or something. So,
okay, well, that's good. Okay. Well, the Bunny should be there because I love Bunny. I fucking 100% love the Bunny. And in my mind, she was like one of the best they had.
Yep.
That made it look like a tough, good division with good, strong character, all that shit, right?
I would feel good if she left because she was like, this is, you're not doing anything for me. I'm going to go on the indies where I can, you know,
really do shit.
Fucking wrestle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would feel good about that too. Right, Ramona? She just heard me getting real loud. Look, and
Ramona's just a yes man.
She started meowing at me.
We can't take her opinion anything.
She started meowing at me like, are you
okay? She doesn't have thumbs.
And now she's in my lap because she's like, let's just relax.
She's like, you're right. You give me treats, I will do whatever you say. I agree with you, ma'am.
You're right, Ramona. I do need to chill the fuck out. Yeah. All right. So we got Sky Blue and Red Velvet, this match. I thought it was a good match.
It was a good match.
It was. You guys,
I've already said about Red Velvet. There were some woofs or whiffs, whatever.
Biffs.
But so yeah, Sky Blue wins, and now it's going to be down to Sky Blue and Julia and Statlander, and I'm just hoping and praying Sky Blue and Julia Hart end up teaming up somehow. I don't know. I don't want them to team up. I don't want them to be a thing, but it's better than they're just being three women in the ring for no reason.
I really do like the niche that the House of Black have found for themselves. They always feel like a perennial threat. When they lose, you know, they don't lose any of their heat. You're still like, yeah, but they're still scary.
They're scary as fuck.
And they can pop up whenever they want. They can go away for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then pop right back up. And you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like, if it's Julia, if it's, Sky Blue, if it's Willow, you know, just like a second woman there, and then let them sort of be that for the women's division. To sort of
be cool.
Show up and murder people and then go away. And, you know, you're always kind of worried, like, are the lights going to go out? And is, you know, are these House of Black women coming? Fuck you.
There should be a faction called the Wraiths.
The Wraiths?
The Wraiths.
It's so easy to say.
Yeah, the Wraiths.
Yeah. I'm a Wraithist. I'm a Wraithist.
Look. People are familiar because of the Tolkien shit. So it's like, you know, ring wraiths, whatever.
Yeah.
And ring wraiths, they're in the ring. Like, no, it's a wrestling ring. So they're ring wraiths.
Okay. That seems like the funniest thing to say. Like somebody skeptical is like, I don't know. Is this term mainstream enough? And you're like, it was in Tolkien.
Look, in the early 2000s, I think we can all agree. Who didn't love the ring wraiths? Who didn't go down a Hot Topic and get a t-shirt with a ring wraith on it?
Great fucking thing. They're just like the wraiths, and they come in out of nowhere, you know, beat ass, and then they leave or they do weird shit. You know, I would like that. I'd be into it. I wouldn't care where, who, what, when, where, or why. You know what I mean? If it just happened, I'd be like, oh, sweet. You know? It wouldn't have to have some further point.
Everything doesn't have to have a point.
I mean, life doesn't really have a point. So, right, Ramona? Nope. She's like, yep.
Ramona has many, many points.
The existential. Oh, she's so round. She's so spherical. Anyway, okay, the point, our point.
Point is, thumbs up.
My point is that there was an intense like move on the apron at one point when Sky, like, I think DDT'd Red Velvet. That was
Yeah,
it was a thumbs up.
Also, she, I don't know that, because they called it a Skyfall, and I'm like, that is her finisher, isn't it? But the thing that I saw her do, like, did not look like something I'd seen her do before, and I was like, whoa, that was kind of cool.
I mean, she's going to have to, as she gets better, shit's going to change.
Yeah, okay.
You know? Right, Ramona? Because, so, like, she's, Tony. She started in the eighth grade. And it was really an awkward time for everyone involved. So I'm glad that finally, now that she's in high school, she's getting some better moves in. Because yes. I wasn't sure how to cheer for her up until now.
There we go.
Just like Mary Magdalene in the in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, I don't know how to love him.
Yeah,
that's right. A song that Mary Magdalene sings if people don't know and haven't heard that musical. What to do?
96.7 The Way.
All right. You guys, our band is so close to going on tour. So close. We just need a couple more songs in our arsenal, and we're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. In this one, though.
We have a Miro promo.
Mm-hmm.
And this one really reminded me that I really don't watch Collision. Because, like, I need to. It's reminding me how much I need to because all the gossipy shit's happening on Collision. So Miro's wife is hanging out with Andrade now.
What?
Yep. And I was like, ooh, this sounds familiar. This looks familiar.
Vaguely familiar.
And so Miro's talking about his wife, but then he's also talking about Daniel Garcia and how he's going to beat his ass. So, you know, it was a twofer. It was a promo on two subjects at once. And I enjoyed it, and I thumbs it up.
I did, too. I liked it. He's always got a great, intense vibe there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. I upped it as well.
And then, what's her name? Maya or Maria?
Mariah May.
Mariah May. It's too confusing. I wrote
Miranda
May,
but yes.
They it's call too the con- wind Mariah.
It's a couple things. It's too confusing. He said her name so fast, and then her accent is such that I'm like, nope, still don't get it. I still don't hear it. Is it Maya or Mariah? And then it's Mariah May?
Mariah
Fuck
May.
You. Get rid Mariah of the May. Fuck that. Whatever.
You sound like Vince McMahon.
I'm sure. Look, if I owned a wrestling company, I would turn into Vince McMahon and I would be a horrible person. I can guarantee you that. I'm not a great person to begin with. So I'm sure money and power would not do well with me. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. Anyways, she's going to meet Toni Storm and Luther. The minute Luther opens the door, it goes black and white.
Oh, my God.
Just for a sec.
Yeah, it was great because like the door shuts and it's normal, and then it opens and it's black and white again.
They're leaning hard into this thing, and it is wonderful.
I really
love
like that.
It.
And then she finally meets Toni Storm, but then Toni Storm's basically like, "Oh, you're just a fan, and like get out of here, and I'm not going to sign anything for you." Blah, blah, blah. And which is fine. I don't like this character that this girl has, though. Everything Toni is doing right now is perfect, but I don't like what this. Like, if you want me to, like, kill you in cold blood, this is how you do it. No, fuck you. Fuck this. Terrible trope. And you're not a good enough actor to do whatever the fuck it is that they're trying to do here. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I don't like it.
I agree, but also like I kind of get a sense of where they're going, or I feel like I have a sense of where they're going. And also, I felt exactly the same way about Toni when she came in. And so I'm like, you know what? Coming from stardom is a pretty high rec in my book. So I am going to like give it time. I'm just going to let it play out.
Of course I'm giving it time. I can still be pissed off in the meantime.
Yeah, no.
I was with Toni. And it wasn't until Toni Storm started doing this. Actually, no, that's not true. She started getting better once she was in The Outsiders.
Outcast.
And her promos got so much better in The Outcast and just whatever that was. I don't know why. But then this is like a whole other level of good. Yes. So this Mariah.
I feel like you're being deliberate.
I honestly don't remember. Maya
the Bee. Yes, go on.
Oh, which I love Maya the Bee. I wish it was Maya. Maybe that's the problem. I wish, I don't know, if it's going to take that much time, that's kind of a bummer, but whatever. Just don't be so annoying is all I ask.
Toni Storm is so good that she could have crapped herself and gone the whole segment, and I would have been like, A+, thumbs up, Toni Storm's the greatest. And then Luther is starting to, find his speed too.
I love him in this, and I'm actually very happy for him, because then he gets to be on TV every week, and it's great.
Yep. All for it.
Absolutely.
And I know he's good friends with Jericho. So yay, buddies, can travel together.
Buddies.
I don't know.
Travel buddies.
I thumbs it up.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got Samoa Joe coming out, and I was like, versus who? I was like, I like his shtick, whoever he is. He did that funny flying into nothing spot, which was the best shit I'd ever seen.
I have never seen anybody respond to his nope spot. It's like, where are you going? In midair. That was great.
Oh, God, it was so good. It was like he was hanging. It was almost like it took so much longer. It was like he was able to pause midair or something. It was very clear and funny.
I did eventually catch his name, but initially I put it down as Jason Reynolds, but his name is John Cruise.
John Cruise. They said it at the end, way at the end, after the match. Yeah, it was kind of annoying.
Give us names.
Yeah, just
I don't care if it's enhancement talent. Just give us the goddamn names, because we respect them as wrestlers, and you should too.
Yes, and if I saw them like on a list somewhere, I'd be like, "Oh, I've seen this guy." Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe wins, of course, and then he cuts a promo, and I thumbs it all up.
Yeah,
I am Samoa Joe, and I am inevitable. Damn, that guy can cut a promo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will say that they're going a little too hard on the squash match promo combination. And I've said this in the past, like, I like it. I like the way they mix it up like that. Don't do too many of them. And now I feel like they're heading into
that
territory.
It's not really a mix up. It's part of AEW shtick.
Yeah.
Like if everyone has a shtick, this is part of their shtick.
Yeah, I mean, just like, you don't put two tag matches back to back, and you don't do too many of any one particular thing, because it just gets boring.
Although Reese's peanut butter cups, not possible.
And I mean, this is the only squash promo they did tonight.
It is not.
No, it's not. But this was the first one.
This was the first.
Okay, that's right.
At the time, it seemed possible that it would be the only, but it was not.
Right. We've got the announcement that there's going to be now a round robin thing for the Continental Classic, whatever.
Yeah.
And that means that just people will be competing against each other indefinitely, forever, for a belt.
Forever, yeah. it's actually not a tournament. It's a pyramid scheme. It's going to get bigger and not smaller.
It's an MLM.
It's the American version of the G1 tournament, and something that Brian Danielson's wanted to do forever and ever, so I'm for it.
Yes.
Yes, and Brian Danielson said that, and he's going to be in it, so.
Once he gets over his Revolutionary War wound.
Yeah, that eye thing, whatever that is.
I love it. Love it. I mean, like, it's one of those, I don't think you have any sort of, it's not like you put a cast on your arm, you know, when you break your orbital bone, you just kind of have to, like, don't fuck with it. So to put a big ass bandage all around it, like, yes, let's make the thing visual. It's great.
One of the strong memories I have from watching WWF as a kid is there was, like, a guy who had, like, a knee brace on, but it
Stone Cold Steve Austin
image of the knee brace. There was like a, it wasn't like a brace. It was just like a knee pad, but on, there was a picture on the knee pad and it was of a broken bone.
Oh yeah.
And as a child, when I saw that, I was like, oh, they're signaling to us that his bone is broken and he's still wrestling with a broken bone. I don't know what that was, why I had that thought, if that was what my brother told me or what. But, yeah, so was that someone's costume? Does anyone know?
I could not say.
WWF. All right. I middle this announcement. Are we thumbing the announcement?
I middled it if we are.
No. No.
Oh.
It was okay. Just information passed along.
Well, in case anybody, the information I'm passing along is it's a middle for me.
an informal middle.
Yeah. So we got Penta and Commander, badass motherfuckers.
Yeah. The
Republic of Lucha flag.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the Young Bucks. When Commander walked on Matt, he was on the ropes. Penta had Matt Jackson on his back. And then Commander like walked on the ropes, walked on Matt, and then to then take out Nick Jackson. It's so cool and so different. I don't know. Just the things people can do. These guys are so creative and could do so much cool shit. It's awesome.
Yep. Yep. It's fantastic. The Young Bucks end the match by kicking Commander and Penta in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And thus leading to Taz going, it's a 4-year bet. Well, you do the math.
It's a 4-year bet.
Love it.
Yeah. This was a fantastic match. I have no notes other than perfect, perfect, perfect. You know, thumbs up.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Young Bucks and Penta and Commander. No, it's not Penta and Rey, but Commander is excellent. And, you know, the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers have given us some of the best matches we've seen in our lives. So for this to be, you know, just another match with these guys, it's like, of course, this is going to be fucking brilliant. And I'm going to see something I haven't seen before because they do that every time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're that creative and that physically able and good and awesome. So, of course, these
people are wonderful.
It's like a golden goose. These guys always lay golden eggs. Always.
Okay, well, you're starting to lose me now.
Anytime, just so you know. Tony. Anytime,
I'm still with
metaphor's getting stretched.
Anytime Tony's like, God, you know, we have a hole in our schedule. What do I do? Fucking do this. It's a golden egg every time.
Yes, it is. Anyways. It's a golden egg every time.
Thumbs up.
Same.
100%.
All right, we got a promo with the Young Bucks. But then Kenny interrupts. And then Jericho interrupts to be like, don't waste your time with these dorks. He didn't say that.
Yeah, I know. He wasn't Matt Menard. Don't waste your time with these dorks.
Sports entertainers.
It was all right. It was a middle for me. I don't like I don't like Jericho with Kenny. I don't. Because you know what? I don't like this Jericho. He's so annoying like this. I don't know what it is. I mean, I could pinpoint it, but why? I just don't like it. And I don't – so him being like, leave these guys alone, whatever. Don't waste your time. I'm like, no, but waste your time though, Kenny, because really the Elite should be a thing forever. And Jericho, they're right. This is temporary. You're not going to leave the Elite for Jericho. God. No
fucking way. You're not
going to
leave a steak for a hamburger.
No way.
I did like this just because, you know, like, yeah, it escalates the whole, you know, Elite breakup thing. The Young Bucks are being more dickish, openly dickish, and I'm for that. So, like, yeah, let's move this thing along.
Yes. I also upped it.
Okay. Then we've got the Guns with Juice Robinson against who, what? Blink and it's over. It's over.
It was Peter Avalon and I think they said Jacoby.
Yes. Those were the names that I heard as well. I'm happy that Peter Avalon's still around. I was worried that it was gone.
And then the Guns do a promo. It wasn't even much of a promo.
No.
It was like weird.
And like that, like that's why I was. Up.
I was like, okay.
That's where I felt like I was like, okay, I've seen this before. There's nothing new here. Like Juice got down on the ground and mimed peeing on Jacoby like
great.
A dog.
Yes.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But also, this was all, you know. Whatever, so
it
was a middle for me. Yeah,
yeah, same.
We got Wardlow doing a promo. It's a video thing. He's calling out MJF, and then the devil mask appears. And now I can't remember if in his promo he said something specifically about the devil mask. But anytime he calls out MJF, the devil mask shows up. So it's like, because you know. I don't know. So who is the mask, right? Now, I know it's not going to be Jim Carrey.
Okay.
You don't know that. You suspect that that's not Jim
Carrey. I can't say with 100% certainty, but I'm hovering in the 98%. But
I would feel safe putting money on it, yeah.
Yeah. But who is the mask? Why would the mask respond if were those calling out specifically MJF, right? I don't
know. Indeed.
Or does he just say the devil? Has he not said MJF and he just says like Max and the devil and he's just like the devil.
I don't remember either.
And these are things that I think about later that I'm like, God, I wish I paid closer attention and I'm not going to go back and look. But,
on Teresa's deathbed.
You know what? It'll be my biggest regret that I didn't go back and look.
I mean, I would go back and look if I cared about Wardlow enough, and I do not.
I'm wondering, though, like, are they hinting to us, is there any other wrestler that's been referred to as the devil ever? Other than the Sinister Minister, which is not really the devil.
And well, like, oh boy, if Jim Mitchell just showed up and said that Billy Corgan fired me for losing the CW deal, what's going on? I'm the devil. I would be into it.
Because, like, maybe there's someone else that's the devil, and that is going to be the rival for Wardlow, not necessarily MJF, right?
Yeah.
And, it's a red herring.
I mean, it could be – I don't think this would be a good idea, but, like, if it turned out to be Jake the Snake Roberts, I'd be like, all right.
What? No, it's not.
I don't think that would be a good idea, but, like, when you think of people cutting devil-like promos – he's certainly up there.
No, you know. Not devil-like promo, because this guy has never cut a promo, right?
Yeah, but once he takes the mask off, he damn well better start cutting promos.
Sure, maybe.
I hope he takes the mask off and says, no promos.
Ooh, what a mean guy. What a devilish guy.
But I just mean, like, has anyone had that nickname? Anybody?
No, I couldn't say. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be somebody. I mean, the penchant for AEW to reach back in time and pull people out of the ethers that you thought retired so long ago.
I mean, if there is somebody, I can't think of them. And if I can't think of them, I probably don't want to see them as the big reveal.
Yeah.
It turns out to be, you know, Iron Mike Sharp or something like that. Like, he used to call himself the devil back in 87.
There we
then
go.
I'd be like, Jesus Christ.
Sting's no. Like, look, I'm leaving, but I have another guy from WWF you have to see.
Duke the Dumpster Drowsy.
Anyway, so I middle this promo.
I also middled it.
It's a better promo for Wardlow. This style of promo is better for him, but I still – I'm only a middle.
Yeah, I'm not saying get him off my screen, but he isn't connecting with me yet. So, you know, I'm just not feeling it. I'm middle.
No tingle in the dangle just yet.
Oh, boy. You're telling me.
I would be concerned if there was a tingle in your dingle.
Why?
Because you're not supposed to have one.
I got dingles. I got dangles.
Oh, policing what's supposed to be in everybody's pants. Mm-hmm. Good
going. You get the cops over here to check me, huh? I'm just get my congressperson to.
I'm concerned that you have a giant tumor that you should get checked by the doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, you gonna have my doctor check me out now, huh? That what you're gonna do?
Oh, you're gonna cure my cancer for me? Huh? Is that what you're gonna do, Mr. Big Man?
You're gonna be Mr. Nice Guy and set me up with universal health care? You jamoke? I don't know.
Yeah, we really do need 2.0 for health care. cutting those DraftKings promos.
What gets my nipples hard? Mammogram checks.
Zero deductibles. Hey.
Mammogram checks. Get my nipples now, hard.
And now Andrew Dice Clay is involved as well.
Hickory Dickory Dock. It's a Dice Clay classic.
Oh, man. He is playing the Wiltern tomorrow.
Really?
Really?
Yep. I go by there every day to go to work, and so I'm always looking at the board, and I'm just like, why is Andrew Dice Clay still touring?
That's so close to where I live. You go like so super close to me every day. It's crazy.
I do, and yet I never visit you.
No, never.
He was really good in that movie.
Ford Fairlane?
No. The one with, what is it? Her name, Kate Blanchett?
Are you telling me that Andrew Dice Clay was in a movie with Kate Blanchett?
Yes, 100%. She was really rich but lost all her money because her husband was a piece of shit.
Are you thinking of Captain Ron?
No. Andrew Dice Clay.
Captain Ron doesn't even have any – like you're talking about Overboard.
Yes, I am.
Andrew Dice Clay, he was Okay.
He's in a movie called Blue Jasmine.
Yes. And it's a really good movie. And he did a really good job in it.
Is that a Woody Allen movie?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Oh, look at this one over here. Just simping for Woody Allen. Whoa. Disappointing.
It's a really good movie. I would be surprised if it's a Woody Allen movie, to be honest.
It's definitely a Woody Allen movie.
It is definitely a Woody Allen
movie. Okay. Well, that's too bad. Anyways.
Dig yourself out of this one, Gumbrick.
I can't do it. I'm stuck. I said it was good. I recommend it. Oh, fuck.
We have what I was very concerned was our main event, because it started with 40 minutes to go. And I was like, and as it was going on, I was like, Jesus Christ, are you going to make me sit through 40 minutes of this garbage? I'm sorry. Like, there were a couple of amazing spots, but this whole thing did not hang together. I did not like it.
I would agree with you in part. Like, it's not a street fight. Like, it's this was the type of thing that was done better when it was the pandemic and they shot things specifically in certain locations that would be shown on a screen that it doesn't have to be seen by an audience. Now, because we're not in the pandemic, people pay money to see tickets and they want to see the main event. They call it a street fight. They put up like food posters and da 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 da. That's supposed to make it look like you're out on the streets of Japan. I mean, no, it's not. It just doesn't seem like that much fun. And then the street element is we're in the garage, I guess, and Hobbs throws Paul White onto a car.
He does body slam him, which is impressive.
It was intense. And in fact, it was so intense that like couple things. Taz says he's got him by the pump handle. And I was like, is he talking about his deke? His dingle? Or there was a time when when Paul White had to stabilize himself on Hobbs' knee when Hobb was lifting him up. And I was like, Hobbs, go to the doctor and get that knee checked out, because how many hundreds of pounds just like locate itself directly on that weak ass joint that's a knee? Fuck. So yeah, that was intense.
Props to Paul White for doing that spot.
Fucking A,
right?
He did
not have to do that. He is at the age where he's but
props to Hobbs
for getting him. Yeah.
God. Ibushi on the bicycle with a pipe.
Yeah.
I loved
it. I think that was my favorite part, was like him hitting people with the pipe and then getting knocked off of it.
Ooh, when he got knocked off of it, that was scary. It looked
real gnarly. Here's my note. Woof. That bike spot really took me out of this.
Wow.
At that point, there was no getting back on for me, because he was moving so slowly. He just like held out the pipe and it like lightly tapped people on the arm as he went by. And I was just like, why am I here? What is
it? It's a heavy pipe. It's a heavy pipe, though.
I don't know what it's like to, I mean, I don't know if they put oil on their bodies or not, but like, I don't know what it's like to try and ride a bicycle in a narrow area where there's crowds, there's all this shit going on, and you get distracted.
I'm not saying that it was like a super easy to do. I'm sure it was, his first concern is to not look like an idiot.
I was worried that the reason why he didn't do anything with the pipe necessarily is because he didn't want to like let go of the handle at all. You know?
Yeah. No, I get that. But also.
No, but do you? I'm kidding.
But also, it just did not look good. No. And, you know, if you can't make that spot look good, just don't do it.
I thought it was supposed to be a funny spot, so I appreciated it for being
funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
The commentary team was having fun with it.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot going on. I did not like the duct tape around the mouth of Hobbs. I didn't like
that. No, I did not like that either.
You mean duct taping someone in a crucifix position, a black man, and beating the shit out of them is problematic?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I
loved it.
As much as I was unhappy about a lot of this, there were some great spots. Like, I thought the brainbuster under the bike looked pretty sick. Cage suplexing Omega out of the ring onto the table on the floor.
Oh my god,
that was fucking intense.
And the chairs,
the tombstone, yeah, was brutal. But also, there was a black man being lynched in the ring, and I mean, I don't care if Hobbs himself said, "Yes, I'm okay doing this spot." The visual was really bad.
I know, and though it's weird about doing these types of matches is it's really hard then to not put forth imagery that some people are going to absolutely recoil and have this reaction to because of, you know, I can't say our history from our present, you know what I mean? So I get it. I do, but I also think that any type of combat sport, especially one like wrestling, but particularly one like AEW, where they do things that are not straight wrestling, you know, they do this stuff a lot. They're gonna continuously be butt up against this problem. Because just the issue with how black people have been treated for so long and then our history with lynching and how many white people are in wrestling, you know.
Yep.
It's always going to be an issue. And I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. But
it's hard because like when they did the quarters spot, you know, you're like, ordinarily I'd be for it, but we just had 1,200 people murdered over in Israel. Mm. You know, maybe this isn't the best time for that.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sorry. That's part of your job as an entertainer. You're putting on a show.
Did you say 1,200 or did you mean 12,000?
No. The first Hamas incursion was like 1,200 people in one day.
Yeah.
Since then, yes. Yeah. Israel has bombed Palestine and 11,000 more people are now dead. So
yeah.
That's fun. Fun.
I have to get back into wrestling. I'm spinning out in despair.
Well, this match ain't going to help any.
Oh boy.
What helps though was Omega winning.
Yeah.
Because I want Omega to win. Paul White was out, so then it was just Ibushi, Omega, and Jericho. I guess they go forward as the Golden Jets. I hate all the names going around right now. I really do. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it does have some sort of significance, but can't they just come up with something better?
Oh, the Platinum Jets. We talked about this, right?
Well, yeah, yes, but let's just not do any of that. Let's just do something dumb like the Cheesecake Factory.
Look, Sting gets to call his shit whatever he wants for the next year or so. Danielson gets to book whatever he wants. Any old match his little heart dreams of, he gets to do it. And Jericho, you know what? He can trademark whatever the fuck he wants to put on a t-shirt. We don't have to like it, but we gotta let him do it.
Okay. All right, Dad. I thumbs this up.
Interesting.
I thought Takeshita looked so cool.
He did.
I loved how the Don Callis family came out.
Yep.
It was just cool. They're just cool guys, man.
Just a bunch of cool guys.
Cool mm-hmm. guys.
Yes. There are a lot of good things about this match. I still thumbs it down.
Okay. Calder?
I thumbs it up.
MJF, he gets on the mic. So this is technically the final segment.
Yep. Don't feel great about that, but it is MJF, so.
He's issuing an apology for to the Acclaimed because they got hurt. And he's basically saying, anyone who gets mixed up in me and my life, they get hurt. Sorry. Blah, blah, blah. But then guess what? Jay White comes out. Dun, dun, dun. As well as the rest of the Bullet Club.
Pew, 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 pew.
Aruga.
I mean.
Hamana, 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 hamana.
Like, you don't even have to know the substance to know that both of these guys cut great promos. But MJF got hurt by the Bullet Club.
That
so
he did.
Who knows what's going to happen?
I got two words for you. Get them.
Get them.
Real sweet.
That was pretty good. Oops. I keep hitting the mic.
I think I liked it that they had to clamber into the ring and that they weren't standing there directly behind him, like when that happened, like as though he wouldn't like notice them creeping up on him, like he couldn't notice them because they weren't in the ring yet.
Yeah.
I was fine with it. It was fine.
You just thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I generally don't want to see the show end with talking, and this was, I mean, it was MJF and Jay White, two very good promo guys, and they were very good promos. I'm going to up it, even though I just don't like, you know, ending a show, especially a go home show, with just talking like, I'm going to beat you because I got to beat you. Yeah. We've seen it.
I thumbs it up. Same.
All right. Let me sit here and do
how
the.
We ended it. Oh, okay. We're You're not done yet. Okay. I was going to say, oh my God.
The math is being percolated. It's time to do a little more singing.
So I go like this every time I touch the baby's nose, and he's like obsessed with it. So he'll touch his own nose, and I'll go, and it's just fun.
This is a 79% show.
Ooh, shockingly low.
Yeah, I'm not surprised though.
A lot of it is due to me. So, you know, if you're keeping track, you know, take that into account, I guess.
That's funny.
But also, like, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here and a lot of stuff that I just really, really did not care for. So,
yeah, it didn't make me feel great. You know, some shows like, right before the pay-per-view, they're ramping up. Everything feels like it's coming to a boiling point, and it's exciting. I didn't feel that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it.
I did with a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm very excited to see a lot of different matches this weekend.
I mean, I'm excited to see them, yes, but I guess – I'm more feeling like all the good stuff's is being saved, as opposed to we're getting some good stuff. Not saying everything was bad. I mean, like I said, there were golden eggs, the constant golden egg.
They were reliably golden poultry products. Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, I can see. Well, whatever. I don't have to talk anymore. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.